Amen. Exodus chapter 28. Go through a few chapters tonight. Exodus 28. We went over some of the items in the tabernacle last week. It points to the heavenly scene, things that would be taking place. And we get into chapter 28 now. And we read in verses 1 and 2, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." So the family of Aaron was to be the priestly family. They are the ones chosen out of the tribes of Israel, and Aaron, the line of Aaron, to be the priestly family, and Aaron was to be the high priest. And they were to be to wear special garments. And today we're going over the garments here of what they need to wear to approach the Lord in holiness. And they were to wear special garments for glory and beauty. We see that in verse 2. "You shall make holy garments for Aaron and your brother for glory and beauty." Holy garments you're going to make for them, Aaron and his sons. For glory and beauty. This is going to be glorious and beautiful, described here, and it speaks of holiness and approaching the Lord. Today we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You have to have Jesus to get into heaven and approach God. So we're going to see these garments, and they also had plain white linen garments also. In verses 3 to 29, I'll go through this, the garments they're going to wear. "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest." You notice here that you're going to speak to all the gifted artisans that I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. God gave gifts to these people to build the tabernacle and to make all these garments. He just gave them gifts to do that. Today we have gifts of the Spirit, and different people can do different things. But here he gave them gifts to make these garments, to build a tabernacle. And it speaks of, you know, our gifts today, and it's all for the purpose of serving God. That's why God gives gifts. Not to be proud and arrogant and to think we're something, but to serve the Lord. "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priests." Does everyone have these two handouts? Okay, we're on the one with the garments. And what we listed here, you can see on this handout. All of those things, that's what they were to make for the priest, high priest here. "And they shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold." You can see what the ephod is. It's right near the top there, that thing that goes down. They shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. "It shall have two shoulder straps joined as its two edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on one stone and six names on the other stone, in order of their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, you shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel, and you shall set them in settings of gold. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial." And you can see that on the handout here. Stone, you know, on the left side, stones of a memorial and settings of gold. One on each shoulder, on the top, was the names of the tribes of Israel. So he's always coming before the Lord in the name of Israel and his sons, approaching the Lord for favor and grace on them and forgiveness of sins and different things. So you put that on the shoulders, atop the shoulders here of that ephod, and they bear that as a memorial. Verse 13, you shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains to the settings. You shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of it, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. Now, these aren't the stones that resemble your birthday. No, this is for the tribes of Israel. They each had a stone. So you can see that breastplate. You know, on the right side there, it says the breastplate of judgment. So that's what was put over on his breast there. And you can see all the four rows of stones and settings of gold. These things must have been pretty heavy. And the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. And you shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in front. You shall make two rings of gold, put them on two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which is on the inner side of the ephod. So he's telling you all about this breastplate and how it's going to be attached. And two other rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. Isn't this interesting how detailed God is in making this stuff, just like last week, the tabernacle? Man, everything, and remember he said you have to do exactly the way I said it. There's no saying, well, this would look better over here. Nope. You have to do it exactly the way God says you need to do this. This all speaks of one way of entering the presence of the Lord today through Jesus. You have to do it exactly God's way. Verse 28, they shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel. He's bearing the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. So that's the garments. You know, and gifted artisans are going to make this. And then, verse 30, and you shall put in the breastplate, you know, on that breastplate that he just, you know, designed, and the 12 tribes of the stones are on there, in the breastplate, in the breastplate, you're going to put the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So he says you're going to put in there the Urim and the Thummim. And every time you go in to meet with the Lord, you're going to bear the judgment of the children of Israel over your heart before the Lord continually. You're going in for them. Now, Urim means lights, and Thummim means perfection. Or truth. So, lights and truth. God is light. God is truth. He's light and truth. Urim and Thummim. Don't know what they were. You hear people speculate. You know, what were they? What did they look like? Bible doesn't tell us. Anybody that says they know is a liar, because the Bible doesn't tell us. And I don't like to give my own opinion on it. We have no idea. We don't know what they were, but they were used to obtain guidance and answers from the Lord. Some I spoke through these elements, whatever they were. You know, we read in the Old Testament, in Abraham's day, they cast lots, and we read a lot in the Old Testament where they cast lots, and the Lord would. We see that in the New Testament, where they picked another apostle, and God spoke in these ways to the people. But here, through the Urim and the Thummim, don't know what they were. But let's turn to Leviticus 8, verse 8. We know what they did. Leviticus 8, verse 8. Going over this again. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate. So we know it was in there. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Numbers 27, verse 21. Numbers 27, verse 21. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord. The priest shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. The Lord gave judgment based on how these things worked. And we don't know what they were, have no idea. But we know they were used to bring judgment. 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28. Now we know Saul was the king, first king of Israel. And we read here 1 Samuel 28, verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. He didn't answer him by any of those things. We do know that. And so we know they were looking for answers that way. Now, go ahead to the book of Ezra. Quite a few years later, Ezra chapter 2. Still going on. Ezra chapter 2. Verse 63. And the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things till a priest could consult with the Urim and the Thummim. So they were used to consult with God what they should do. Don't do anything until you consult. So that was put in the breastplate. I think it's interesting that we're not told anything about them, just that they were used by God. Probably because people would replicate those things today, whatever they were. And you could buy them in the store. And God didn't want that. So they knew, and that's how they would consult. Now back to our text, verse 31. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening. You can see the robe of the ephod on your diagram there. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem, you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. You see on the bottom? That's the pomegranates of gold bells. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate. Upon the hem of the robe, all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. So the bells were on there so that you would know when the priest went in and that he's coming out, and he didn't die in there. He had to go in dressed right, in the right way, or else he would die. The bells told the people, hey, he's okay, and he's in there accepted before the Lord. And so that's why they put it all around the hem of his garment. They would make noise when he goes in and out from the Lord. No, he's alive, and he's okay. And you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet Holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord that it may be on the turban. And you see where the turban is. And it shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallowed, and all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So he bears the iniquity or guilt of the people when he goes in. And he wears this turban with holiness to the Lord on it, so that the people will be accepted and forgiven. He's going in, you know, and calling out holiness to the Lord. He's holy. And he's going to go in bearing the iniquity of the people. 39, you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you're going to do this for them. And so you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them. You got to set them apart, and so they're holy before the Lord, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. So these short trousers. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity. They have to be dressed right and proper so that they come in properly and not die. And it shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. So they're to wear these other things, worn underneath the tunic. And Aaron's sons were to wear these white tunic and sashes and hats for glory and beauty. Now, chapter 29. This is the consecration of the priests. They have to be set apart and made holy. They had to go through this. We're so blessed today, we just go through Jesus. We're clothed in his righteousness. But all this points to coming before the Lord in holiness. Holiness to the Lord. So even the priest, the clothing, the tabernacle had to be sanctified. And now the priest themselves, they had to be, there's constant for the priests here in verses 1 through 9. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering. Here's what you have to do to the priests so they're holy before the Lord. Take one, and there were sacrifices to be offered. And verse 2, take a young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. And you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod, dress him up, and the breastplate, gird him with intricately woven band of the ephod. So they wash, and then you put this stuff on them. You shall put the turban on his head, and put the holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil, and then you take this anointing oil, pour it on it. Today we'd call that holy water or something, but this is an anointing oil. This is from the Lord. This is scriptural. Pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, so you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. So you have to consecrate them, wash them, they dress up. This is a cleansing of the priests to be set apart for ministering. And now they have to offer things, these different offerings. First of all is a bull for a sin offering, for their sin. They have to come in holy first before they can come in for the others. And so this is consecrating the priests. Verse 10, you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull, put it on the horns of the altar in your with your finger, and pour the blood beside the base all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. So this is a sin offering, verses 10 to 14, for themselves. You know, in Hebrews 9:22, it tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So even the priests had to have this sacrifice so blood would be shed for them. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus 17, verse 11. We see that here in the law. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. This is what we're reading now, to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And we know today one can't be made righteous apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's something interesting in verse 14. First of all, they took the entrails and the liver and all these nice things, kidneys, and burned them on the altar outside of, you know, where the priest would go in. But the flesh of the bull with its skin, the flesh and its skin, its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp, even go outside the tabernacle grounds to burn this sin offering, the flesh. Why is that interesting? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Let's see, Hebrews. Is it Hebrews 12 or Hebrews 11? No. Hebrews 12 or 13. I don't know where it is right now, where it tells us that Jesus was crucified and died outside of the city. Huh? Chapter 13, 10 to 12. We have Hebrews 13, verse 10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. And we read that. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate, outside of Jerusalem. He suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And so that's what happened to Jesus. They didn't crucify him in Jerusalem in the city. He was taken outside and he died. And that's who we go to now. We go to meet him outside the camp, outside the city, and he's our offering. So that's the offering for sin. And now verses 15 to 18 of Exodus 29, it goes over the burnt offering. Now, burnt offering was something that was completely burnt and offered, like totally committing the sacrifice to God, representing them totally sacrificing their life to God, their body, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Complete dedication to the Lord and his service. And we see verse 15. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Now, when they're putting their hands on these animals, guess what they're doing? They're laying their iniquity on that animal. And the animals being sacrificed. We put our hands on Jesus. You see, that's what they do, what they did on the Day of Atonement. They would lay it on that animal and send it out, carrying their sins out. And so here we see that in verse 15 to 18. You put your hands on the head of the ram, kill the ram, you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Complete dedication to the Lord's service. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, what does it tell us? We are now the living sacrifice, laying our lives on the altar. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And it's a reasonable service that we should serve him. Now, verses 19 to 21, another sacrifice, this ram of consecration. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, on the tip of the right ear of his sons. You take the blood and you put it on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments. So this signified cleansing from sin in every area of life, ear, hand, and feet. The ear, the hand, the thumb, and the toe. What does that signify? Ear. You must listen, you must hear God's word. You must hear me. The hand, the thumb, you must perform the tasks of the Lord. You must do his word. And the feet, you need to walk uprightly and walk correctly in the sanctuary and obey the Lord. And the blood on the garments also hallow these garments even. And in verse 22, and you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, two kidneys and the fat on them, and the right thigh, for it is ram of consecration. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one water, and from the one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. A wave offering would be, you're waving it like to God, you know, from God to you, wave it before the Lord, this offering between you and God. It's a wave offering before the Lord. And you shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering, it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remains until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do it for Aaron, to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. So this was a 7-day thing. And you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse his altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement. This lasted 7 days for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy, and whoever touches the altar must be holy. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 lambs on the first of the first year, day by day, continually. So there's these offerings going on all the time. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the one lamb you shall offer 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer it with the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel in this tabernacle, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I'll also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. Everything has been set apart for the Lord and made holy. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord your God. So he's showing them through all this, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always going to be in your midst, and you're going to know it by these things happening. So don't ever think that I've left you or I've gone away. Let's go through 30 quickly. And you shall make an altar to burn incense on. Here we see the altar of incense. You can see on your tabernacle handout this altar of incense. Brazen altar, altar of incense. You're going to make an altar to burn incense on, and you shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, width, and it shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be made of 1 piece. So it's not very large, this altar of incense. 18 inches by 18 inches. Now, here is actually a mistake on your handout. We're going to have to tell these people on the internet. Because on this handout, you know, if, okay, let's see what we're talking about. No, the altar of incense. We see on the golden altar, yeah, the golden altar, well, its length shall be a cubit and a cube and a cubit and 2 cubits. And you see on the handout, it's a cubit and a cubit and another cubit high. You see that? What do we read in our Bible? It's a cubit and a cubit and 2 cubits high. Okay? And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold, and you shall make it for molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they be holders for the poles which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. These things are all like the ark, carried around white poles. You shall put it before the veil that is the ark. You know, we see the golden altar right there. And then you see the Holy of Holies. You're going to put it right there. You put it before the veil that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I'll meet with you. And Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You're going to burn incense on this continually. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering of grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. Now, you notice it says, you shall not offer strange incense on it. In other words, this incense, and we're going to read later on at the end of this chapter, had to be a certain combination of things. You couldn't just make up your own incense. It had to be incense that the Lord designated as his incense, to be offered up on morning and evening. Now, remember, our prayers are as incense to the Lord. Psalm 141, verse 2. Our prayers are the incense. And Revelation 5, verse 8, the prayer of the saints are the incense. See that in Revelation 5, 8. That's going up to the Lord, a sweet aroma to the Lord, our prayers. And Psalm 141, 2. Now, when it says here that you shall not offer strange incense on it or burnt offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Because Aaron's sons tried to do that. What happened to them? God didn't like it. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, same as strange fire, which the Lord said you don't do, which he had commanded them, not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. You come my way or you don't make it. They probably got emotional and says, oh, look at these guys. You know, let's offer incense up to the Lord. And they offered strange incense, profane incense to the Lord. Maybe it wasn't taken from the brazen altar. Because if you go back to Leviticus 16:12, it had to be taken from that brazen altar, you know, right up front, a coal from there to light it. And maybe they didn't use that. Maybe they didn't take fire from the brazen altar. Another thing was, maybe they didn't use it. Maybe it wasn't the way God said it should be done. Look at the end of the chapter, chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. We'll read the end before we get to it. Exodus 30, verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacked in unica and galbanum, and pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound, according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I'll meet with you, it shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall not make any for yourselves, according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from among his people. He says, that's my incense. And you don't merchandise it or copy it. It's mine, so don't touch it. So God's warning the people not to do it. So it may be they didn't maybe take the fire from the altar, or they just use a different kind of incense. He says, I don't want that. I don't want you to use that. So verse 11, back to chapter 30. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. You're going to give the Lord a ransom for your life. When you number them, there may be no plague among them that when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give. Half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord, considered an adult. Want a census of all the people, and you give money. You buy ransom from the Lord for yourself. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. That was fair. No one could say, that's not fair. No one gives less than half a shekel when you give an offering, because it's to the Lord, to make atonement for yourselves. And you shall take the atonement money for the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. So what they're doing is supporting the ministry. You see that this money that you pay for ransom for yourself is for service of the tabernacle. And that's how God kept things, how they kept things going. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with his base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, this laver. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. So they're always washed. They need to be clean. And when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. Pretty severe. You go and serve the Lord, you got to wash up. You can't just casually come and approach the Lord. I'm glad we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die, and it shall be a statute to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. So you wash up before going to serve the Lord, else you die. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb, thank God. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil. Remember, they were to be anointed with oil? That also had to be made the way God said. You can't just make up your own anointing oil. He says, you take these things and you make a holy anointing oil, an ointment compound according to the art of a perfume of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So this is God's anointing oil. Now we know the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, which we anoint people with oil, and it represents the Holy Spirit. With it, you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils. It's setting them apart for the Lord. The lampstand, its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver in its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy, and whatever touches them must be holy. Everything, even the priest, has to be holy. Garments, the priest, all the elements. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. So you anoint them. Everything's anointed with this most holy oil. Aaron and his sons to be anointed. And now again in verse 31. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. God says, not for ordinary use. It's for me, just like the incense. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall he make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. Same with the oil. Has to be made my way with these elements, and it's only for my anointing oil to anoint those and those things that I'm going to use in ministering in the tabernacle. This and from verse 34 to 38, we already read that about the incense. It also had to be made according to God's way, and you can't copy it or use it for any other person. So this is all speaks of holiness approaching the Lord. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we have Christ, and we are holy through him. Lord, you're so gracious to us. We are able to approach a holy God. This all speaks of how holy you are, God, and how you are to be revered and worshiped, not in a casual way, but in spirit and in truth. It's a serious time when we come before you. I pray that you would revive your church in this world, and we would have a sense of holiness and how holy you are. I pray, Lord, we would see how difficult it was to approach you back then, but how you've made it so easy for us to come before you now. But we must be clothed in that righteousness of Christ, walking in your ways, doing things your way, Lord. Speak to us on that. And even as we worship you now, let it be a very intimate time of just seeing who you are, how great you are, and how great it is that you've allowed us to approach you, a most holy God, and that you see us righteous through the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.